Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Easter Sunday, April 1st, 2018. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching the sermon entitled Easter Joy. Our Old Testament reading today is Psalm chapter 118, verses 1 and 2 and 14 through 24. And the gospel lesson is from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Easter's the most joyful day of the Christian year. There's nowhere else I would rather be than to be in a community like this who sings triumphantly that Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. It's a day to sing out loud, to go all out, to turn the volume up to 11. But the first Easter was more subdued and confusing even than this. Please join me in a word of prayer. God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of Scripture. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge him as Lord. We ask that you would send your Spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter gospel. Amen. Our scripture comes from the gospel according to Mark. All four gospels give us the account of the resurrection, and here is Mark's version. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, and for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The end. Scholars believe the original end of the Gospel of Mark ends with this phrase, "They were afraid." And this isn't just the end of this section of the reading, the piece of scripture we're looking at today. This is actually the end of the book. Gospel writer Mark, by the way, that's not really a good ending. I mean, I think I could write a better ending than that. You forgot to have Jesus reappear? Did you notice? Yes, there's an empty tomb, but there's no resurrected Christ who shows up. This ending of Mark is so weird. It didn't just bother me. Luke and Matthew, who looked at the Gospel of Mark, they added Jesus showing back up again. But even the ancient biblical scholars and scribes didn't like this ending either. Go ahead and flip open that Pew Bible. There's two books in there. There's a Bible and whatever. The scripture's on page 54. I'm going to ask us to look at this. Because if you flip it open, it's pages 54 and 55. Here's our scripture. You might need your reading glasses because there are these little bitty footnotes in here. So at the top of page 55, there it was. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Little tiny note S. Do you see that? You see the S on there? Teeny tiny S. Then you got to drop down to the footnote, and it says this in your Bible. Some of the most ancient authorities bring the book to a close at the end of verse 8. One authority concludes the book with the shorter ending. Others include the shorter ending and then continue with verses 9 through 20. In most authorities, 9 through 20 follow after verse 8, though in some of these authorities, the passage is marked as being doubtful. Huh? So is it scripture or is this not scripture? Should it be in our Bible? Should it not be in our Bible? Now, I'm not going to go into it all here, but if you're more curious about this, you can make an appointment with me and we can go through which ancient Greek scriptures did or didn't. But most biblical scholars would say the ending of 8 is where the gospel writer Mark ended the story. But it bothered so many other people who read this original account of the resurrection that they kept adding things onto it to make it sound better, to fix the ending. I mean, the ending at verses 19 and 20 sounds much better, right? And they went out and they proclaimed the good news everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. But if Mark really ended at the end of verse 8, for they were afraid, the end, then what was going on? But then I got to thinking that the ending of Mark's gospel reminded me of one of the speeches from the March from Our Lives that happened 8 days ago in Washington, D.C. Did anybody else see the speech given by a shaven young woman in a jacket adorned with various patches? Her name was Emma Gonzalez, and she is a senior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And on a day full of speeches, she used her speech to do something I thought was incredibly articulate. She started by listing her slain classmates by name, a tragic poem read to and for America, each line representing a life cut short. 6 minutes and 20 seconds with an AR-15. And my friend Carmen would never complain to me again about piano practice. Gina Montalo would never wave to her friend Liam at lunch. Aaron Feist would never call Kira Miss Sunshine. Joaquin Oliver would never play basketball with Sam or Dylan. She named all the 17 victims. Elena Petty would never. Jamie Gutenberg would never. Meadow Pollock would never. And then Emma Gonzalez stopped talking. For a moment, then another one, and then another one. And even in the video, you can sort of watch the crowd react. At first, the crowd waits politely, kind of hanging on her next word for about 20 seconds. And then there's these scattered, "Go, Emma!" and shouts of applause. And then back to silence. And she just breathed and held there and cried. And then the crowd tried another few rounds of calls and scattered applause. And it went back to silence. And the camera watches her face as tears roll down her eyes and pans across the crowds. And people in the crowd, some of them look thoughtful. Some of them look confused. Lots of people are sort of fidgeting. Some people are crying. Then shouts of "never again" start in one corner of the crowd, gain momentum to a louder and louder shout with clamps, "never again." But Emma just continues there, staring straight into the distance, holding the eye of the cameras and the crowd, and she holds her ground. And so then, even the crowds of "never again" die back down. Young women play with their hair. Young men adjust baseball caps. People are shifting from side to side. And finally, after more than 4 minutes of silence, a timer goes off. And she concludes, "Since the time that I came out here, it has been 6 minutes and 20 seconds. The amount of time it's taken for the shooter to cease shooting. Fight for your lives before it's someone else's job." And she walked off stage. What a speech. This 18-year-old survivor spoke profoundly and eloquently in silence. She held some sacred space and sacred time. And she didn't let the shouts of the crowd fix it or even cut it short. Her silence spoke a challenge. But more so than any words could have challenged the crowd that day. The silence was enough to make people uncomfortable and fidget. It became a challenge to remembering the suffering and pain of that day, and the challenge to respond. For her silence provokes this response. It invites all those watching in the crowd, watching live on TV that day, those like me who watched it later on YouTube. It invites you, it invites me into her struggles and into her mission. What will we do? Will we act? And so maybe after listening to Emma's silence, I can understand Mark's abrupt ending in a different way. Mark's mic drop sudden ending may not be such a bad ending after all, or an ending that needs to be fixed. Perhaps Mark's silence is what's speaking louder than any words could speak. Hear the scripture again, knowing that this is the end of the book. "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Are you sucked into the cliffhanger now? What happens next? If the woman don't tell, who will? Is fear going to be the final word? Then how can hope spread in the world? Do you want to reach in there and shake those women and finish the story? Tell them, hey, go to Galilee. Get going. But then Mark's silence issues that challenge to the women, but also to you and to me and to us. What about you? Are you going to go to Galilee and search for a risen Christ? Are you going to tell anyone about an empty tomb? Are you going to receive good news, but then keep it a secret from anyone else? For any book that has a great ending, lets us have closure. Lets us close the book, dust off our hands, and say, that was a really nice story. But Mark doesn't give us a book with closure. He gives us a challenge and invitation to enter into the gospel. We are the ones who are called to be the continuation of the story. We are the ones who are the sequel. We are part two, to join our addition and responses, and to be the ones who answer the question, does the gospel end with terror and fear? No. We have accepted that invitation. For look around. Look at this sanctuary, filled with those who have come, believing in the resurrection, celebrating with songs and bells and triumphant energy. For the story did not end in terror of amazement. I see in this room Easter people. We sang its continuation already today, that Christ the Lord is risen today. Notice that this is in the present tense. It's not the past tense. Christ the Lord has risen. Christ the Lord rose. No, we sang, Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. And so we as Easter people go forth, being the continuation of the gospel here in Northern California, here this year, here this very day, declaring that indeed our God triumphs over fear, over suffering, over injustice, over death itself. And we proclaim here and to all the world that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.